Judging by the size of the crowd, the game must still be close, which is probably not a good thing. I don't ask that you pray that the Huskers win, but please pray for your poor pastor. I try so hard. I was like, okay, I'm not going to care. Then they win 6 games, and they're in the top 10. I'm like, oh, boy. And then it's like, ugh. They like get me every time. It's like I take it hook, line, and sinker. Just like, ah, darn it. Ah, so please pray for me. So, and if you pray really hard, maybe the Huskers will win. So, anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. Some of my very earliest memories are of my grandparents, my grandpa and grandma Siza. And I was very young at this age. I was probably only about 3 years old. But I still have a recollection of this. When Pope John Paul I died, and because I remember it seemed like, even to me at that young age, it was like didn't we just get a new pope? But when they had the election of Pope John Paul II. Going over to my grandma Siza's house, and grandma was, she was so happy. she was in tears. She was crying tears of joy, because my family, we come from southern Poland, and grandma always claimed that somehow we were shirttail relatives of the Wojtyłas. I'm not sure exactly how, but I'm sure probably everybody in Poland is related to the Wojtyłas at this point. But she was just, it was just such an amazing thing, and there was just so much pride for a people. To understand a little bit too, that Poland has been occupied for pretty much just about all of its history, and it's always, it's kind of this broad, flat plain, and so nobody wants to take their army through the Alps, and so whenever they go and they start traipsing through Europe, usually Poland gets it coming and going, so to have that moment where, the leader of the Catholic Church was elected from Poland, it was a great moment of just incredible pride for people in Poland and the diaspora that exists outside of Poland. And the reason that I bring that up is today, October 22nd, is the feast day of Pope John Paul II. And when I was praying about these readings, and when I was praying about what to say, that one of the things that came up in thinking about that in context of Pope John Paul II, one of the very first encyclicals that he wrote as Pope was Dives in Misericordia, which means rich in mercy. And if you read that document, it really frames really his whole pontificate. Because his whole life is really something that is framed by this message of mercy. Because he is someone, he lived through World War I, he lived through World War II. He was someone that it had the communist occupation, the Nazi occupation, the death camps. He himself, working in secret and becoming ordained as a Catholic priest, and really leading the Polish underground in the theater so they could retain their culture. And through all of that, woven into the fabric of Polish life was the Catholic faith. And flowing from that faith is that understanding that even though we may be in the midst of great trials and great tribulations, even though we may be in the midst of great suffering, even though that we may be in the midst of great persecutions, that God has not abandoned us, that God has not forgotten us, but God is a God of mercy. And He loves us. And that understanding of mercy, I have no doubt, was framed in a beautiful way by the writings of St. Faustina. He was the one that really helped get the proper translation of her writings, because there was an erroneous translation of her writings where she was thought to have been a heretic. And he was able to help get things straightened out so that, that she was able to be venerated within the church, and ultimately canonized her as a saint and instituted the Feast of Divine Mercy. So at the beginning and at the end, when he died, what was it? It was the vigil of Divine Mercy. So his whole pontificate and really his whole life is framed by that understanding and that mercy of God. And so mercy is something that not only are we to extend that mercy to others, but in a way, we are first to seek that mercy of God ourselves. And to seek God's mercy and to seek that love, it is not something that is selfish, because it's something that God wants to give to us. It's something that He wants to share to us. If only we would ask. Time and time again, He says to St. Faustina, interiorly, He says, "Oh, that people would just open their heart to my mercy. I so want to pour it out. The flames of love and mercy are burning me. Because I just want to open my heart to them." And so the gospel today is really teaches us how to approach God in His mercy and how to receive the merciful love of God. And Jesus gives this beautiful parable of this Pharisee and this tax collector. You know, the Pharisees in Jewish society, these were the scholars. These were the people that were considered the high ones. These were the ones that knew sacred scripture. This would be kind of, you know, they'd be kind of like considered like the priests and the nuns, you know. I mean, obviously they lived a little bit different, lived that out, their faith out in a different way. But I mean, they were well thought of in Jewish society. Tax collectors, synonymous with sinner. Traitors to their own people, to their own society. But who seeks God's mercy? Who knows that he needs God's mercy? Pharisee stands up and he starts giving a litany of all the wonderful things that he's done. "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of these slobs out here. Greedy, dishonest, adulterous." And even points out the tax collector. Like that one. "Thank you, I'm not like that one. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all my income. Blah, blah, blah." The tax collector, what does he do? He recognizes his own brokenness. He recognizes his own sin. Doesn't even raise his eyes to heaven, but he beats his breast as a sign of penance, as a sign of sorrow for his sin, because this is where sin begins, in the heart. And he's saying, this is where I hurt. And he says, he speaks this beautiful prayer. He says, "Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner." So often when we commit a sin and the devil comes back to it to accuse us of that sin, we think, "How could I have done that? How could I have put myself in that situation? How could I have made such a bad decision? How could I have hurt the people around me that I love?" And we beat ourselves up. And we say, "I'm not worthy of God's love. And I'm so broken that not even God can love someone like me." But Jesus says to us, "I have not come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners." And he says to St. Faustina, he says, "Those with the greatest sin have the greatest right to my mercy. I want to heal them. I want to show them. I want to take away their sin." So the two phrases, how could I have done that? It seems like something noble, but really it's an insidious form of pride. How could I? As if, like the Pharisee, I'm so great that I can't possibly sin. And when I do, how's that even possible? I don't know. We're all capable of sin. We're all capable of evil. Because we're made out of the same stuff. Even St. Paul says, except for the grace of God, there go I. So even when we avoid sin, it is still the mercy of God. But when we do have the misfortune of sin, instead of saying, how could I have done that, which focuses in on ourselves, we turn to the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge our sin. We say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner, but Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We identify the one, because I can't change this reality that I've sinned. I can't change this reality of who I am or what I've done. But he can. Lord, if you will it, you can make me clean. He can cleanse us, purify us, sanctify us, make us holy, righteous. Beautiful. And our history as Catholics is filled with former sinners. People that have done evil, but have sought the mercy of God. That have changed their lives and have given their lives to Jesus Christ. Jesus wants and desires that we seek his mercy. He knows what we are. He knows what we've done. But he still loves us. And he wants us to open our heart to him. Because as we receive the merciful love of God, and as we understand our own unworthiness, and yet God still loves us and makes us clean, then that makes us want and desire to be merciful to others. To share that gift of God's mercy with others. To be that instrument of his love and mercy. To do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. What a beautiful gift is God's forgiveness, if only we have the courage to accept it. It's hard. It's hard letting go of our sin. It's hard letting go of our brokenness. Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So let us really learn from the wisdom of such a wonderful saint like Pope John Paul II. And really come to know that God is rich in mercy. And as we seek out that love and mercy, and as we are transformed by that love and mercy of Jesus, that we ourselves may go out into the world as apostles of mercy to extend the kingdom of God.